3 minutes past five. The world's gone mad for Tay Tay Keith. It is
and the new album's dropped.
The Dead Poets Anthology or whatever it's called.
Previous boyfriend has she?
No, she's had a she's had a crack.
She had a dip?
She got into some bloke called Joe Alston or something rather. I don't know.
He's copped it.
In
a vicious way.
In a poetic way.
Right. Nice.
Joe Elwin is his name. That's right. I've no idea who he is, but he's the one on the receiving end this time around.
She's a beautiful, beautiful artist, and I find everything about her very entertaining.
Is the Taylor Swift, the latest offering, big news in the Adam Cooney household? As we say, good afternoon to the great Adam Cooney.
Good afternoon. Negative.
What? No Swifties in your house?
We're anti-Taylor Swift in this house.
Why?
We are pro Billie Eilish.
Okay.
Why do you have to be? Is this a thing? You have to be one or the other, do you?
Well, I don't think necessarily, but our eldest has a deep, deep obsession with Billie Eilish. And I suppose it's a bit of a competition between Taylor and Billie, both obviously huge artists in their own right, but plastered all over the walls in the house.
It's a non-contest.
Is it? Well,
it's a non-contest. Come
no,
on,
not even the same. We're not even talking the reserves. This is like,
nice try, Billie.
Yeah.
Really?
Taylor is in on another stratosphere.
Yeah, well, I suppose she is. Yeah. Oh, I haven't heard the new Anthropology. How is it?
No, I haven't heard it. Well, it only just got released in Australia about 3 hours ago. So,
we should be dissecting it song by song at the moment. I'm sure that'll
be going on somewhere. We're on limited time with you today because you're a very important man with a very important job.
Coaching assignment as well.
What are you doing with your eyelashes? People can't see this. This is not a visual medium, but he's got the eyelash curler out. What are you doing?
Just curling the lashes for the armchair experts tonight.
Oh, what
putting my face on.
You are in real trouble.
But you got the own personal assignment. Are you in the coaching?
No, we'll get to that. That'll be the last thing. We want to talk some footy with him before his debut as an APS coach, which is nowadays arguably the biggest feeder. It's arguably the biggest feeder system into the AFL National Draft
now.
Could
launch a coaching career as well.
Well, I think it might very well.
Big feeder comp. So that should be good. Well, I'm happy to chat about that at any stage. You just let me know and I'll drop the hammer.
I'm sure you will. Before you do, let's talk about last night and tonight, if you wouldn't mind. What were your takeaways from the decimation that was handed out to St Kilda by the Western Bulldogs last night?
Well, the Western Bulldogs are a good team, aren't they?
Well, they are.
They've got a good side.
They've got a lot of good players.
So it says to me that they're capable of playing some really good footy. Now, was it a response from the players to say that they're backing in their coach? Or were some of those players who have been left out given the opportunity to come in and play well? Like Jack McRae had a pretty good game, got involved in terms of helping the team score. I think he had 11 or 12 score involvements. Aaron Norton was able to own the forward line because he didn't have Jamara Ugle-Hagan there, who's overtaken him as the most important forward.
Bailey Dale went all right.
Bailey Dale got a bit of the footy. And I mean, just his first quarter, some of his kicking, I'm thinking, if he wants to go elsewhere, what sort of money is he going to command on the market? Like, there's 17 other teams out there thinking, I'll pay this bloke $800K a year. Because if he kicks it like that every week, then I know there's been a lot of talk about it. It is staggering how he found himself as the sub on occasion. I still find it staggering that Caleb Daniel can't get a game. Like he just, again, there'd be 17 other clubs. I think, well, we'll have him off half back because he just uses the ball well. There's an art to football about kicking and hitting targets under pressure. And sometimes it looks easy. Like from the stands, you can see a guy in the middle of the ground. Like if you're on level two and you're watching a game and a guy's running off half back, you can see a guy in the middle of the ground. He's waving. He's all by himself. It's actually a lot harder to see that player when you're on ground level and you've got players coming towards you and you've got that pressure. The best can execute and the best make those decisions with the ball in hand. Like, yeah, he's got some deficiencies in his game, Caleb Daniel, and maybe to a lesser extent does Bailey Dale. But what they are elite at is finding and distributing the share into another player in a good position, and they make those good decisions more often than not. So again, I guess that's why the Western Bulldogs fans have been upset and sort of thinking, well, has he run his race, Luke Beveridge? But it was a good sign last night to say that the players, well, we're still backing our coach who's been under immense pressure. So And from a St Kilda perspective, I guess we should have seen it coming. The back-to-back, you know, short breaks is inevitable that you're going to have. And they're a young side, St Kilda. They're not the most mature list and most mature team that they're fronting at the moment. So we should have expected this last night. But to run out and dish that up in the first quarter has nothing to do with coming off
the fatigue,
consecutive breaks. Yeah. You can understand that if it broke down after half time, yes, but they just got mauled from the first bounce. So good sign, I think. And the Western Bulldogs, I think, tweeted today about Aaron Norton sort of mocking people that were calling for him to go back into defence. I still think it is a viable option for them going forward when Hugo Hagen comes back into the side.
Particularly when you've got players like Darcy, Lobb and Hugo Hagen, who are all legitimate AFL-level players. I mean, Lobb's form can be mixed, obviously. But when, as Gazy said right off the top, when you see him play like he did last night, it's hard to believe he's never not in that team. But he's probably not in that team because when he does play and the others play, well, you're going to bypass him all the time. So the question has to be
into each other. That's right.
Yeah.
So it's and Norton, like, if Jamari Ugle-Hagan's not there, obviously, like, Norton would do that more consistently, but he commands the ball now, Jamara. Like, he gets in the good positions and he works really hard up and back. So he finds himself leading up at the footy hard, whereas Norton, I think they've bypassed him on occasion. So without Jamari Ugle-Hagan there, it opens things up. Rory Lobb was able to get up the ground and do some nice things up there, and Norton was the main man up forward. So obviously Jamara is not going to stay out of this team. He's not going to be playing VFL when he comes back. So it is still a viable option to help them behind the footy. Now, they didn't have King against them last night. Could have been a different story if he was down there. And then we might be thinking, well, gee, they need another bigger body in defence to take care of some of the monsters when they come up against them. So like Hawkins and Cameron, a duo like that. I mean, the Western Bulldogs, they'd have a sleepless night as a back six coming up against them. So I still think it's an option. It looked good last night with Norton forward, and he kicked the ball superbly.
He did.
Which is lovely to see as a key forward going back and slotting your set shots and making the most of his opportunity. So well done to the Dogs. It was a great response. I think there's some young talent too to come through from the Dogs. Like Garcia, I want to see more of him play. I think eventually, and he makes good decisions forward of the footy as well. I want to see Riley West pinch hit a little bit in the midfield. Like, it's a hard role that he's playing at the moment. How long can he sustain that effort as a small forward? Because you do get starved at times. I'd like to see him, you know, get some more opportunities on ball as he works his way into his career, because you don't want to pigeonhole yourself as that small forward, because you can find yourself in and out of consistency pretty quickly.
We like Harvey Gallagher, don't we?
We like Harvey, yeah.
We like him a lot.
We love Harvey, actually. We love Harvey because the wing role, It's a tough position to play, because you have to be so disciplined with your running patterns, and you have to be. It's almost like you're going one on one, and you've got the whole side of the ground, and you've got your opposition winger next to you, and you're running up and down, and it's almost like a mini game of chess. So you sort of start in the middle, and you've got to work out whether to push back hard into defence and leave your man to help out behind the footy, which can leave you exposed, and the opposition winger can get it if they hold their width, or do you just stay with him and then you try and push forward on him? So Harvey Gallagher's playing it superbly at the moment, and it's invaluable, a winger that kicks goals. Like, it's really tough to get forward and kick goals. So he's doing it pretty well at the moment for a young fella.
If you're coaching, and this probably goes to either of you, because Gazy, you've coached been in another sport. When you got a fire starter, a guy, and Cody Waitman is proving now to be something of a first quarter specialist. When you got a bloke in the opposition team who is, you know, more than occasionally red hot early in games of footy, do you have to treat that player a little differently? Do you have to go uber defensive on that individual player to start with before maybe releasing the shackles if you need to later to get your own game rolling?
You do, but a player like Cody Waitman should be opposed to a small lockdown defender whose sole role is to stop the small forward. And did you see his second goal that he kicked last night, Cody Waitman? He was opposed to Liam Stocker, Did you see how far Stocker was away from Waitman when he marked the footy? He didn't lose him. He just left him. He left him and he went, pushed up the ground and he stood there and the ball went straight over his head and Waitman marked the ball in 30 metres of space inside 50 by himself. So, particularly in the first quarter, put your arm across him and just stop him from getting any sort of momentum into the game. But I would have thought that every week Cody Waitman should be coming up against a Hardwick, a Stocker, these guys who just, their sole focus is to just lock down and beat their man and not let him get a sniff going forward to the footy.
You know those players, Keith, who they get their team going.
My word.
They're the ones that get the whole thing rolling. They might not be four quarter players, but they might not be able to play for 40 or 48 minutes, whatever it is in a gap. But they are the ones that early get set a marker. And you've got to take that away from teams, whether it be a footy team or a basketball team, so that they need someone else to do it for them.
Yeah, these days strategies can be really broad because even, you know, from the sport that I'm involved in, there are times when you've got those types of players and say, you know what, we're going to put all our energy into this guy. We'll have a matchup for him, but they might still beat you anyway.
So that's right. Yeah.
Let's focus on everyone else. Now, I'm not suggesting what Coon said took place there, where you just completely leave the guy.
Yeah.
But you put your attention and say, if he gets his, so be it, but make sure these others don't get theirs. And you put your attentions elsewhere because you may not have the capacity in certain circumstances to have much input despite your whole focus being on it. They're still going to. They may still get
off
the
chain. Yeah.
Well, it's almost impossible in basketball terms, isn't it, to stop someone from.
It's very difficult
performing because you can just hand them the ball and then they're away from there. It's easier to stop someone, I think, in AFL, be it a midfielder or a dangerous forward, because you can just your sole focus can be stopping them from getting the footy.
Yeah,
some midfielders are too good, but it is. How do you try
but we don't see
the best basketball player?
But with Coons, when they get it, you double team him, you get the ball out of hands the other ways. But for whatever reason, the principles these days of defensively how they go about it, you don't always see them do that to those players that you're trying to close down. They do it more collectively than they do with that individual, I'm just going to take it away from you. Is that fair? Fair statement, because sometimes you're looking at watching a game and going, "What the hell? Put someone on this bloke and make him wear his skin."
Team defense,
you know what I'm
saying? Team D,
yeah.
Team D is brilliant if you are a midfielder playing in today's game, because you have a nice sleep before it. You don't have to worry about Cameron Ling sweating all over you for 120 minutes of the game. Yep. And then you've got Clinton Jones hanging out your back pocket, scragging you, and he's got his bloody skin under his nails because he's not letting you get near it. It gives you something else to think about during the week as well when you're one of the game's best midfielders, because if you know that you're getting tagged, well, you have to do extra vision. You've got to work out how you beat this guy. At the moment, they don't even care. They just roll up and they get their 35 happy days.
That's a good point. Have you got five players? Is it tonight or across the weekend? Five players who need to step up. Or are you specifying it to this evening's game or right across the round?
I was just going to focus on tonight's game.
Go on. Give me that. Okay. I'm looking forward to it.
Well, these are the five that I think not necessarily have been underperforming.
No.
But just I'd like to see them step up. Well, this guy has been underperforming. Number five is Darcy Fogarty. I don't think he's won a
Darcy Fogarty.
I don't think Dave Fogarty's had a one-on-one contest win yet. So he needs to start marking the footy.
Are you going to say that again?
I don't think he's won a one-on-one all season. I don't think he's taken a contested mark.
That's That's actually hard to believe.
Yeah.
You sure?
Doubt you. I'm not saying you're wrong. It is quite hard for. He's only kicked the four goals for the season, so the data would suggest that whatever you've read and consumed is not incorrect.
I will repeat the data then. Darcy Fogarty hasn't won any of the eight offensive one-on-one contests he has been involved in this season.
That's for a key forward.
Come on.
Who's building your game on power. You need to be winning those.
So it's a big one for him tonight. So I slotted him in at number five, and the Crows haven't fired a shot in their forward line all season until last week, and they got it going last week. So if he can lift, then they start to look a lot more dangerous in there. Too much focus still and reliance on Tex.
Number four?
In the twilight of his career. Harrison Jones is number four, building very nicely. And yet to get a vote in the Adam Cooney medal, but geez, he's not too far away. He's had a couple of Rising Star nominations as well, Harry. He's been good.
Three good weeks in a row. He's put together two, by the way.
Couple last week. Yep. I want this. It's his forward line in 2 years. I reckon he will own the Essendon forward line in 2 years' time. So hopefully he kicks a couple tonight. Three is Isaac Rankin. He's the most dangerous player out there, I reckon. He was terrific last week. Got plenty of moved up the ball around the footy as well. Sort of mid-20s and three goals. It's a huge game. So I just wonder the job tonight. So Sam Durham did a terrific job, and he's in at number two, Sammy Durham.
Okay.
He did a terrific job sort of quelling the influence of Marcus Bontempelli. Does he just play as an inside mid and match them early, as we were just speaking about Gazy? Do they try and lock down Rankin, or do they lock down? And number one, I have is Jordan Dawson. So he's dropped off a little bit.
No, he's been lukewarm, I reckon, yeah.
He's dropped off a little bit. Numbers are down and impact on games is down. And just we haven't seen that lethal left boot distribute inside 50 too often. So I've got him as the most important guy to stand up tonight. I think Sam Durham should go to Isaac Rankin when he's up the field. But around stoppages, try and take on Jordan Dawson. He beat Marcus Bontempelli around the footy. Got the ball going his way and kicked the goal last week too, Durham. So I think they should lock down Dawson or Isaac Rankin when they're up there. He's the most important player, I think, in terms of a result tonight, Jordan Dawson.
Right,
to Jake Stringer, who whenever he gets the ball inside 50, he's looking very dangerous at the moment.
We have to say goodbye to you in about 2 minutes flat. So give us the Adam Cooney medal votes for round five, please. For those who are just joining us, those who are in the fifth year of their career.
Yeah, this is true, because that is when you should be starting to excel.
Thank you.
Oh, no, I've lost them.
One vote. So Greater Western Sydney Giant halfback flanker He's got the moustache and a bit of a beard. Would you like me to read them out for you?
Where were the votes?
One vote to Lockie Ash, 26 disposals and 9 marks. You made the votes.
He has been good.
Two votes to a Gold Coast Suns player who's now sort of mid halfback flank. You know who you've given the votes to? Sam Flanders.
I've given the three to.
34 disposals and 625 metres gained, and arguably the most improved player
across the last.
There's no. He's a revelation, Sam Flanders.
Have you got the leaderboard there?
Yeah, I have. Yeah, I've got that.
Sam Flanders, he'd be climbing up the leaderboard.
Well, he is climbing up the leaderboard now. Yeah, I'll get to that in a moment. But the three
what
votes
about
for
our man for the three, your Gold Coast Sun as well.
Go on.
Noah Anderson.
Yes, he remembers.
Three votes.
Thank you very much.
I remember the three. I did them earlier in the week, and you know, I do get busy.
Well, you've got a busy week. You've taken on the powerhouse Halebury tomorrow, so we wish you all the very best for that.
Thank you.
The leaderboard, the boy Caleb Sarong sits atop, two votes clear on six. Rowell and Green sit consistently at four. Jackson, Young, they're joined by Flanders and Anderson on three votes. Waitman on two. Warner, Keane and Ash joins the fray on one vote. So that is what we're looking at, the Adam Cooney medal. Coons, we've got to let you go in about 5 seconds. So all the very best against Halebury tomorrow, mate.
We wish you
all the very best.